Joshua chapter 5, let's begin. I want to tag on Joshua chapter 4, verse 19, and then we'll get right into Joshua chapter 5. Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped at Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. So that's where we were last week. The whole sermon last week was about Gilgal and what had to happen at Gilgal. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. Now, so understand where we are. Right outside the city of Jericho at Gilgal, when God is getting them ready to march on the city of Jericho, which is the first city in the Canaan land that had to be conquered. And notice what verse 11 says of chapter 5. And they ate of the produce of the land on the day after the Passover, unleavened bread and parched grain on that very same day. Then the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land. So this is very important. You got to understand that part. The miracles of the desert are over. We're in a new season of miracles, not past miracles, but present miracles. Not miracles that God gave us to sustain us, but miracles that God gave us to advance us. Not miracles that God gave us to get through something or survive something. I've had lots of survival miracles, and I thank God for every one of them. But how many of you are looking for a blessed miracle? Anybody ready to get out of survival mode into the goodness of God and the blessings of the Lord and the victories of the Lord? So this is where the Lord is taking them. Then the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land, and the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Cana that year. So here's the first thing you need to understand from our text that we've read so far. We're going to read a little bit more in the middle. Here's the first thing you need to understand. Desert miracles have ceased and promised land miracles have begun. Desert miracles have ceased and promised land miracles have begun. God gives you what you need when you need it. And I know that we are taught by Jesus to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And that is a maintenance prayer that believes God that I'm going to make it through today and have something to eat today. And I thank the Lord that we can pray steady maintenance prayers, but understand this, that if God has you in a season of survival, or God has you in a season of rest, or God has you in a season of peace, all you need is a maintenance prayer. All you need for God to do is show up every day, bless what you're doing, give you what you need, and keep going. But there is another season that sometimes God asks us to walk into, and that is a season of something bigger than maintenance. Has God ever invited you into a dream that's bigger than you're able to dream, like winning 1 million souls in a year? Has God ever invited you into a moment that is bigger than you, when you just said, Lord, how in the world am I ever going to do this? How is that even possible? So God wants us to pray maintenance dreams when we're in the maintenance mode. But there is a time that God says, you have been wandering long enough. You have been circling the camp long enough. You have been drinking from the water of the rock, and you've been eating the manna long enough. You have been in survival mode, but now I'm calling you into a season of more than enough. You have settled for just enough. God, give me just enough to keep me going. Anybody ever settled for that? Let's be honest. God, if I can just make it through the day. Have you ever prayed that prayer? Lord, just let me make it to the end of the year. We'll be all right, God. I can see the light then. Just let me make it, God. And I love that song that the sisters sang, I'm going to make it. But I'm tired of just making it sometimes. When I know that Canaan land is just in sight, I'm tired of just making it sometimes. When I know that the giants will fall and the grapes are great, when I know that the land means ownership and building houses and digging wells and not moving around the desert and living in a tent, when God sometimes says, I want you to think bigger than maintenance, I want you to pray bigger than Lord help me, I want to call you into a season of faith where you can trust me for more. Somebody say more. There is more to kingdom living than just getting by and barely making it. Now, I grew up in the old school, you know it, because I pull out all the old songs. How many of you like those, that old wine pour down your soul every now and then, like, oh, how I love Jesus. I need that myself every now and then. I grew up in an era of time where the church had gone through a lot of persecution, and most of our songs were just about hanging on, and most of our songs was just about getting by, and we would sing some sad songs that would just, it was just like we were just trying to make it somehow and just barely get by. And then I realized that I was not coming into the fullness of the kingdom, that there is a place where you can walk in the fullness of blessing and the fullness of kingdom, a place where God stretches your faith to believe him for not just enough, but more than enough. Somebody shout, more than enough. More than your child crying themselves to sleep every night because they're lonely when God wants to give them a great relationship. More than your household barely getting by and getting your needs met when God wants to partner you with missionaries and pastors in Pakistan, and God wants to fill your life with goodness and partner you with missionaries in Mexico, and God wants to partner you with people in India and Europe. When God says, oh, there's more out there, there's more than the harvest in your backyard. You know, one of the things that has shifted in my life since I became the president of ISO is when I was pastoring in St. Louis for all those years, I would get up every day and say, God, give me this city. God, give me this city. And when I became the president of the International School of the Word, I started saying, God, give me the nations. God, give me the nations. And can I tell you, we have students in 77 nations right now. God, give me the nations, and he's given us the nations. What if God calls you into something bigger than just taking care of yourself and paying the bills and getting by? Maybe God wants us to have more than just good worship services, but he wants this to be a place where the unchurched and the sinners are drawn in every week. Wouldn't you like to come here and knowing that every single Tuesday night someone was going to give their heart to Jesus Christ, and it was just normal, it was just an expectation that when we come to church, somebody is going to come to the Lord and get saved? What if there's more than just feeling good when you walk out? What if there's more than just singing your favorite song? What if there's more than just hearing your favorite verse read from the Bible? What if God wants us to have more than enough, more than a mediocre life? What if God wants to fill your life with adventure and love and laughter and peace? Anybody want to sign up for that great adventure? Anybody ready for more joy, more peace, more love? God wants to give you more than enough. So God calls them into seasons more than just accepting a job that you hate because it keeps food on the table. When God can give you a place and connect you with a place that you love and you enjoy your work, more than just feeling better. When God wants you to be healed and wants you to dance on the grave of your enemy, more than just hanging on till Jesus comes. No, I'm not just hanging on so I can live in a cabin in the corner of Glory Land. I am marching on because I believe that revival is coming and Jesus is coming and we are going up. So we have to lift our eyes on something more than just our needs and more than just getting by. Somebody shout, there is more. Now, I'm not going to sing this song because I've already broke out in enough songs tonight, but I do want to quote it, and I hope Braden will break out in this some night. Gary Oliver used to say it this way: my God is more than enough. He can supply all my needs. He is my El Shaddai, and he looks out for me. Jehovah Jireh, he is my God. I think there's a few people in this room that know that song. All of the earth is his, and the fullness thereof. Everything that I need, you can be sure of. He's Jehovah Jireh, and he is my God. So why should I worry about the highs and the lows and the ups and the downs? Because by my faith, I know my God is more than enough. He can supply all my needs. He is my El Shaddai. He always looks out for me. Jehovah Jireh, he is my God. Jehovah Jireh, he is my God.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have four ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
Many years ago when I pastored in St. Louis, we were in a small church in Webster Groves community. We were called the Webster Groves Church of God, a building that would seat about 250 people if it was really full. And we had already gotten to three services in that building. We were running a good steady 600 or so in those days. But we were packing out a couple of services and starting to fill up another one. And we were really getting in trouble because our parking lot wasn't very big and we couldn't go over, and we were in a real flow, you know, where the Holy Spirit was moving along and the altar calls and people were being saved. And so we knew that we had to move. And so one day I just said, Lord, I need for you to help us move, and I need for you to show us what to do. And there was a man that walked up to my door, and he said, he was from a church down the street. He said, we want to buy this church. Now, I had done an appraisal on the church, and this shows you what kind of shape it was in. The appraisal on the church was $400,000, all right? So you can buy a house for that now, but back then the whole church was worth $400,000 with all the land there in Webster Groves, Missouri. And I said, Lord, we can't rebuild this church for $400,000. We need a bigger building. There's no way we can do it. And a man walked up to my door, knocked on the door. He said, I'm a pastor down the street. I want to buy this church. And I said, how much do you want to buy it for? He didn't even get an appraisal. He said, we've got cash. We'd like to give you $800,000 for it. I said, now just like God, he doubled our worth just like that. And I didn't even go to a meeting. I could have gotten in trouble for that, but I was so young, they didn't care. You know, and I said, okay, bring me a check. And I went to the church. I said, by the way, I sold the church. And they thought, what? You did what? I mean, don't we have a council or something like that? But when I told them how much, they all knew we needed more room. They were excited. And then I realized that after I'd sold the building, I told you last week how I sold our house kind of that same way. And so after I sold the church, they gave us $800,000. And then we thought, well, where are we going to go? We got 600 people. We started meeting in a school. And listen, I'm telling you, the Lord started blessing in that school, and people started coming in and getting saved. We had picked up another 150 people in that school. Now, back before then, we wore suits and ties every time we come to church, and we got in a school in a gymnasium with no air conditioning. We started showing up in short sleeves and no ties, and it changed the whole culture of that church. We never went back to the suits and ties after that. It was just one of those things that we just got casual. People started coming in. I mean, we were fanning like old-time camp meeting fanning. We needed that Jesus knocking at the funeral home door thing, you know, that going on. And so we were fanning. We had no air. We had fans sitting out, and it kept growing. It was like, where are these people coming from? We don't have a building. We don't even have air conditioning, and we're hot. And people were just showing up and getting saved every week. So now we're up to like 750 people, and that school won't hold us. And so where are we going to move to now? So we moved to another school and moved to another school. I'll give you the cliff notes of this. By the time we actually got in our building, we had moved 18 times. Now you think about that. We had moved 18. We kept growing, or they would say, you know, we can't do this anymore, and we'd have to find a new school. I was about to lose my mind. So we bought this property called the St. Louis Soccer House. And when we bought this, it was an indoor soccer field, and we bought this property, and the city found out that a church was buying it, and they locked it down on us because there were three bars that operated in there, and they were going to lose all this tax money and all that alcohol tax money and everything, and they did not want a nonprofit in there. So the city got together and locked it down on us. And so I would go to church every week, and we had already bought the property, but there were signs on the door, and there were chains on the front of the door, and we couldn't go in. And I really thought I was going to lose my mind in these days, because I would go back to the congregation every Sunday. I started dreading going to church, because every Sunday, "Pastor, when are we going to get in the building?" Well, I couldn't even get in the building. So it wasn't in like we were going to get in the building. I couldn't even get in the building. And so we had all these rules, and they had these pink slips and all this stuff that they'd shut us down, locked us down. And so this went on for a year. We had been paying for this building for a whole year, and I was thought I was literally going to go crazy, because the burden became too much to bear. The conversations, I didn't even want to see anyone in my church anymore. We were still growing. They were telling me, I knew the minute I saw them, wherever I saw them, "When are we going to get in the new building?" And I had no answers. And I got tired of saying, "We've tried, we've hired lawyers, and we hired real estate attorneys, and we're going broke just trying to get in a building that we're paying payments on right now." And we've been paying those payments for a year. And so here we are in this multi-million-dollar property. We're making monthly payments. We're renting schools. And I just thought, I'm going to lose my mind. And I called the church to a 21-day fast. And I'm finishing up on this fast. And at the end of the fast, the Lord told me, he said, I want you to take the congregation to Gilgal. And I did not know what that meant. And so I thought, okay, he's going to give us a new building. I'm being honest. I got down the map. There's 157 municipalities in St. Louis, Missouri. I was just sure one of them was called Gilgal. And so I got down the map, and I'm thinking, "It's not here, God. What do you mean go to Gilgal? It's not here." And he said, "Not that one. The one over in the book of Joshua. I want you to go to that Gilgal." And I realized that is where they had to pile up the stones and pour the oil and consecrate and anoint themselves. And I said, "Lord, do you really want me to go there?" Because I didn't understand how to do it. So I got up on a Sunday morning. I probably got 850 to 900 people this time, and I'm sitting up on a Sunday morning, and I tell them, "By the way, I'm going to break into the building tonight." And this is what I'm telling them. "I'm going to cut the chains. I'm going to break into the building. I'm not supposed to be in the building. I might get arrested, but if I do, I at least want you to know, if you see my picture in the paper tomorrow, me on the news, I'm breaking into our own building. Even though we're not supposed to be in there, because the Lord told me to go anoint it and consecrate the building, because our season of maintenance miracles are over, and he's wanting to start a new season of new miracles. But we got to get out of the maintenance season first. We got to get out of the desert miracles before we can get into the promised land miracles." And so I told them, and I said, "I'm not asking you to come, but if you want to," listen, that night, 800 people showed up with lawn chairs, and we broke into our own building, and we got in there in a big circle. And I had all of my elders. At that time, I had only 11 elders. I ended up with 42 at the end, but I had 11 elders all bring a cement block, and they had no idea why. I said, "Well, we don't have any stones, but we got to put 12 of them there." So all 11 elders showed up with a cement block, and we stacked the first one and anointed it with oil, and he prayed. We stacked the second one and anointed it with oil, and we prayed. And we put the third one, we anointed it with oil, and we prayed. And I had my own cement block. So all 11 elders have prayed, everybody's sitting in a circle, and I put the 12th stone on there, a cement block, actually. I put the 12th cement block, and I took me a gallon. I was not messing around. I got me a gallon of the best Israeli oil I could find, and I started pouring it lavishly all over this altar. And when I did, all of a sudden, there was a crack of thunder that would have deafened anybody that came over that building. And it was right when our kids had gone to Winterfest, okay? So they were coming home on a bus, and because we were all there, they didn't take them to the school where we normally met for Bible study on Sunday night. They brought them all here. Well, these kids had left their luggage outside, right? And so we're in this building, and all of a sudden you could hear rain coming so hard that all I could think of was, oh my goodness, that's going to drown out the service. That's what I'm actually thinking. I'm going to have a carnal moment right there. I'm thinking, that's going to drown out the preaching. How much insulation is it going to take to stop that? That's what my mind is thinking the whole time. Where these kids ran outside, these youth ran outside to get their luggage out of this storm because it was raining. And they ran back inside and they're crying and they're hugging each other. And one of them yelled out, Pastor B, there is no rain. It's only the sound of rain on the inside. But when you go outside, the skies are clear. There's nothing going on outside. You can only hear it on the inside. And I had to see it for myself. And I ran and a lot of other people ran. And I walked outside and the stars were out and it was a peaceful night. But I could walk back inside and it sounded like a rainstorm going on in that building. And we realized we had entered a new season. The old things were passed away. We had come into a new season of new miracles. Sometimes you got to get tired of maintenance miracles. Sometimes you got to get tired of desert living. Sometimes manna in the desert isn't enough. When God says there's a harvest field you haven't even touched yet, God says, why are you settling for manna when there's grapes waiting on you and there's vineyards waiting on you and there's corn waiting on you? Why are you settling for tents when there's houses that have been built for you and there's wells that have been dug for you? I sent the Babylonians in here. I sent all your enemies in here and they've already dug the wells. The Egyptians have dug the wells. I'm going to give you the land of the Canaanites and the land of the Hittites and the land of the Jebusites. But you got to get tired of maintenance first. You got to give up your right to survival. You got to stop surviving and get ready to thrive. You've got to stretch your faith, do something bigger than where you are, bigger than what you're doing. You've got to believe God for more. Somebody shout more. You got to believe God for more. Somebody shout more.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand His kingdom around the world.